morning, church.
Good morning.
The morning scripture will be coming from Hebrews. That's Hebrews, the sixth chapter, verses 1 through 2. And the word of God reads, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundations of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of the laying hands and on the laying of hands, and not of the resurrection of the death and eternal judgment." Lord, have a blessing to the reading of his word.
Church, say amen. Good morning. There is a striking parallel between the growth, birth, and development of a physical man and that of a spiritual man. When one is begotten and born into this world and is a baby, he must grow until he reaches full maturity as a full-grown man or a woman. We kind of expect it. We have witnessed it. We have certainly done that ourselves. We don't stay as we were. You know, as precious as children are when they 2 years old and 1 and 2 years old, yet we still need to see them grow and mature. There's certain expectations that comes with them developing and growing. And it's the same way when you compare it to spiritual things. When one is begotten by the word of God and born into his family, one is considered a babe. But one must grow in spiritual matters until one becomes a full-grown man or woman, just like one did with physical matters. During the process of maturity and development, there's a danger of falling, a danger of failing, returning to the old life, as it were, from a spiritual vantage point. There's always that danger that we come into Christ that if we don't grow and mature and develop, that we could end up falling back. And we could end up going back to our former ways and our former way of living. But you also could come in and you could back up in your former immaturity as a Christian. So the need to grow forward is something that Paul, or I believe that it's Paul who is the writer of Hebrews, is getting at. He wants them to understand that there is a danger in one coming and sitting and not growing to maturity or not growing toward perfection. So he is warning Christians throughout this epistle about the dangerous consequences of failing to grow toward maturity. It is a timely message because we are starting a new year, and this year, I believe, if I'm correct, Craig said we need to be talking about maturity. We need to be talking about growth. We need to be talking about moving toward perfection, and that's the aim. The aim is perfection. Do you want to be perfect this year? We're going to have to aim at growth. We're going to have to aim at maturity. We're going to have to aim at becoming full grown in Christ Jesus. Truly, the aim then is perfection. But first, notice with me, go back to Hebrews chapter 6 and notice the procedure for perfection. The procedure for perfection. How do I move toward perfection? Hebrews 6, 1. Let's read that again, Brother Craig. Now, they were being told to proceed from first principles. Now, that word principles means commencement. It is the chief things. It is those very first things that you learned that brought you into Christ. And so you notice he enumerated some of those things. We'll talk about those in a moment. But we have to move from that very first or the elementary things, if you will. And we talk about sometimes going from milk to meat.
Yes,
sometimes it's very difficult for people to make that transition. So you find a lot of people in Christ, when you think they should have advanced a little further into the house, they should have advanced further into their understanding, into their service, into their knowledge, they keep showing the signs of spiritual immaturity. They just kind of staying in the same place time and time again. But I'll show you that that puts you in a very dangerous situation. These were the fundamental things that have been learned in the transition from Judaism, as we have to go to the immediate context, from Judaism to Christianity. You have to think about it now. They had come in and they had understood repentance from dead works and baptisms and all of these kind of things. But those were the things that they had to come to understand as they was making the transition from Judaism into Christianity. A lot of those things were not going to be able to come over with them. So they had to leave those first principles and they had to move toward maturing in Christ Jesus. Now notice that word leaving is the Greek word aphiemi. And that word is the same word we would use if we were telling someone to forgive someone. And so he said, in fact, the word means to forgive. It means to send forth or to cry. It means to lay aside. We say leave. When we say forgive someone, we understand that you are not necessarily going to forget what someone did to you. We recognize that. You may not forget it mentally. However, what we mean by forgive is let it go. Leave it alone. Let it be. In other words, remit it and move on. That's this word. So he is saying you need to leave alone, let go of those first principle things so that you can move on to perfection. He did not want them to linger at the very elementary truths of religion. You see, what Paul is getting at is that one either recedes, he either advances or he recedes. If you don't go forward, you're in danger of going backwards. So he did not want them to linger in this position. He wanted them to advance from this position. Now, the reason that's so important, drop down to verse number 4.
For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened.
Yes, sir.
And were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again.
See, this is the danger. This is why he's saying you have to leave the first principles, because that puts you in a position where you're in danger of potentially falling back. So Paul had this idea that if you come into Christ and you just rest on your laurels of the very elementary things that you learn, and you don't move any further, you don't advance, you don't grow to perfection, that you're in danger of going backwards. And he's trying to call the Hebrew Christians from doing just that. But what do we mean when we say we have to leave those principles of doctrine? What should we do with them? Well, the idea is that of building a house. If I'm going to finish the house that I have began to build, at some point I have to move away or leave the foundation. Now, we'd have laid the foundation on those first principle things, on those doctrines that he enumerated. We've laid the foundation, and now he's saying, okay, it's not like we're throwing them away or we're discarding them. But they are the foundation of the house on which I'm building. And so now I have to leave the foundation in order for me to go up with the walls and to finish the structure. You cannot finish your building if you don't leave the first principle things and move toward perfection. That's the idea. So that's what we're talking about. Now notice, he rebuked them for this very thing. Back up a chapter 5. Back to chapter 5 and verse number 4, verse number 12. No, we'll go back to verse number 11. Go ahead and read.
Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing.
Seeing ye are, that's nothros. That means that you have
lazily allow so many things to kind of carelessly pass by that you didn't give an account to these things, you didn't apply these things, you didn't add these things, and as a result, they kind of got past you, and so now here's where we are. And you know that's true, don't you? You can sit inside of a church building every Sunday, Sunday in, Sunday out, and not really get any benefit. You can sit in Bible classes. Your mind can be other places. You can be distracted and not really get anything out of it. And so in the end, he says, you, I have many things to say unto you, things that are hard to be uttered. But why are they hard to be uttered? Not because I don't know how to tell you, but because of your attitude, because of the way you hear. And as a result of that, since you're lazy in your hearing, he says, then we've got a problem. If you weren't so lazy and dull in your hearing, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be what? The first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as need of milk and not of meat. For strong meat belongs to those who are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. My friends, we have to proceed from those elementary or foundational things. So he enumerates those things in verse number 2. He said, we don't need to lay the foundation of these things again. That foundation was laid right the first time. You know, sometimes I wonder why people are still searching. The foundation was laid right the first time. You obeyed the gospel. You got the right information. And you responded to the right information. You responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You responded to what it took to be in Christ, to believe in Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart. You understood what it meant to repent of your sins and to turn away from that form of life and that form of living. You understood what it meant to have the proper heart and to have that remorse and that thing that moves you toward repentance, to make an about face and go in the other direction, to leave that kingdom of Satan and to turn to the kingdom of Christ. You understood that. You understood to confess him with the mouth unto salvation, Romans 10:19, and to allow him to immerse you in water for the remission of your sins, to be added to his body, and to live faithfully unto death, Revelation 2:10. You understood all that. The foundation was laid right the first time. And if you obeyed that gospel which was given you, if you obeyed it from the heart, then the foundation was already laid. What else are you looking for? Now you have to move on in advance, because if you stay right there, somebody might come and tell you something different. Have you questioning and wondering whether or not you received or did the right thing? And so you have to advance on those things and go ahead and build the house. Now, the problem, if you don't build on higher things, is that they're a problem for the spiritual immature. There's a lot of problems that results from being spiritually immature. When Paul writes to the Corinthians, he talked about those babes, chapter 1-3. And in talking about that, what Paul points out is all that division that was in Corinth, Paul said it was due to the fact that people didn't grow up. They were spiritual babes. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and start with me, if you will, verse number 1. Even as unto babes in Christ. Paul then says that I couldn't even speak to you regarding spiritual things, but carnal things. I got to speak to you like you're babies. Why? Because you have not grown up in Christ. There's no spiritual maturity. And you know what happens when there's no spiritual maturity? Well, you know, we won't read all of this, but just notice verse 1, he talks about carnality. So carnality comes as a result of spiritual immaturity. Not only that, on a milk diet. He said he couldn't even give them meat because they couldn't and weren't not able to digest it. And so then you stay on a milk diet. Not only that, the results of carnality was evident among them. And he says that was envy, that was strife, and also division. Where you see envy, strife, and division and all those kind of things, you probably got a lot of babies that's crying for their own way, want things done a certain way. If they don't get their way, they cry out. They're very territorial. They'll take their toys and go home. Watch it play out right in the congregation of God's people. because of spiritual immaturity. We're more concerned about who gets the credit for this, that, and the other, and all those kind of things. We want our way, and if it's not our way, we'll take our toys. If we don't get it our way, we'll quit. We won't serve. On and on and on. Why? Because of a lack of maturity. That's what they were doing in Corinth. And so Paul says, I need to talk to you about certain things, but you're not able to digest it. But then look at the Ephesian letter. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Not only does it produce division when you're spiritual babes, but it also places us in danger. In the Ephesian letter, he pointed out that being like children places one in a dangerous situation. Ephesians 4, look at verse number 14.
That we henceforth be no more children.
Why? You see, when you're a spiritual babe, that means there's a great deal of ignorance, weakness, unsteadiness. You see, notice what he says. Just look at this imagery, if you will. He says, tossed to and fro. Anyone in here have multiple siblings? Raise your hand if you have multiple siblings. Now, were you the older side or were you the younger side of those siblings? Now, if you're the older side, sometimes older children did foolish things to younger siblings, didn't they? Now, I feel for you if you were on the younger side. Because sometimes, tell you what my siblings used to do, we would get in a little circle, and we would take the baby up, and we would toss the baby to and fro. Thank the Lord my mama and them never ever catch us doing that. But we would take up the child and we would throw the child from one arm to the next arm. And then they throw them to this arm. And they throw them this arm. You know what the child was doing? Laughing. Just having a good old time. We was tossing the child to and fro. Now, of course, we didn't think we were going to drop the child. That's what crazy older people do. Older siblings. We didn't think we were going to drop the child. We didn't think we was in any danger of dropping the child. However, that was a very dangerous thing to do, wasn't it? But what I want you to get is not how foolish we were. What was the baby doing? The baby was just as excited and happy. And when it was time to stop throwing the baby, you know what the baby wanted to do? Do it some more. Do it some more. Now, the problem is that the baby didn't understand what kind of danger it was in. Because there could have easily been someone who could have missed, and down goes the baby. In fact, we were taught if you didn't fall and hit your head at least one time, you weren't normal. So it was just natural. It's kind of a rite of passage as a child to fall on your head at some point in time. So I guess we were going to provide the opportunity. But the child was unaware of how much danger it was in while people tossed it to and fro. Think about that with Paul's imagery. If you don't grow up and mature in Christ, you are like a child being tossed to and fro, but with what? With every wind of doctrine. You are open and susceptible to any teaching that somebody provides to you. Why? Because you are not spiritually mature. It's a very dangerous position to be in, just like a baby growing up in our house. A very dangerous position to be in. But they also could be compared to a kid that's holding a kite. When a child has a kite on a string, you know what the wind is doing to that kite? It's blowing it everywhere. But what happens if that child lets go of that string? That kite is gone. Wherever the wind decides to take it, it's gone. You know, some people's conviction is just like that. They have a childlike conviction, just like a kite. And so what happens is, it's being held on literally by a string. Now, do you want your conviction to be like that of a kite, just barely being held on by a string? so that every wind of doctrine can blow you wherever you want to go. I told you what you obeyed, but sometimes somebody gets on the internet and puts something out there and say they don't believe in this and they don't believe in that and they believe in this and they believe in that. And then you get Christians who don't obey the gospel start wondering, well, hadn't really ever considered that. There's a reason why you hadn't considered that. You don't need to consider that. And the reason you are thinking about that and being fooled by that is because you are like the kite being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And there are some folks that have put some good stuff out there. It could also be like a vessel in the ocean without anyone at the helm, no settled course, being tossed by the winds and the waves. This is the way it is with so many people. They have no real set views. They have no real set principles. No real studied conclusions on doctrines. They have not settled their minds through a careful examination and therefore are open to varying opinions and in danger of being carried away by the very doctrines of men. And do you not know that Jesus condemned the doctrines of men? Matthew 15:9, Jesus said, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine. Jesus said, anybody worships him under the guise of the commandments of men is worshiping him in vain. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. The danger of being a spiritual child who lacks maturity is that men can play games with you. Go back to Ephesians 4, and look at verse 14 again.
That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men.
Wait, by the sleight, kubia. By the sleight of men. That is the word that means a cube, like dice for gambling, gamesters, who employ false dice to throw up a number to make sure you lose every time. We would say today they loaded the dice. And so these are gamesters, tricksters that will make sure you lose. And so he says they do it by the sleight of men. Y'all ever witnessed three-card Molly and all that kind of stuff? You know, the sleight of hand and stuff like that. You trying to follow. Sometimes they got things under a ball under cups and all this kind of stuff. They so slick with it, you think you got it. You just sitting there watching it and you're wrong again. Or men who use card tricks and stuff like that, you wondering what happened by the sleight of hand and all this kind of stuff. Gamesters, tricksters. Well, people allow these kind of folks to play games with their spirituality. And Paul said it was a serious situation. For some, their religious conviction is comparable to a roll of the dice, left to mere chance. You don't want that to be said of you. I looked up in the clouds one day, and I got a sign. Well, we might as well just roll the dice, because that's about worth that, what that conviction is worth. But yet, that's what folk do. You know, I kiss my charm every morning, my cross charm. People have a cross and, you know, and stuff like that, put those charms on. I kiss my cross every morning and I go out and I know God's got me. I'm going to be safe. Well, let's just roll the dice. Because that's what you do. You might as well just roll the dice if that's your conviction. I open my Bible and wherever it lands, that's going to be what I do today, or that's going to be the answer to my question. Wherever it lands. Well, let's just roll the dice. Because that's what that's worth. I ask my pastor, my bishop, and whatever he says, or nowadays she says, whatever he or she says, that's what I believe. Well, let's just roll the dice. Let's just take a chance. Do you realize that there was a great man that was on this earth at one time in history? He was one of the greatest men ever to live. He was an apostle, so great a man that he was one who was chosen out of due season.
He didn't get to walk with Jesus in his personal ministry. Jesus chose him, who was sure enough an enemy trying to destroy Christianity. And yet God saw something in that man. And that man said, by the grace of God, I am that I am. And that it was God's grace who saved me, a chief of sinners. But that man said that I did not come behind one disciple. In one whit did I come behind the very chiefest of disciples or apostles. He was one of the greatest men ever to live. And that man was given his knowledge miraculously by God himself. He was a walking Bible before the Bible was even finished. That man preached. And the people in the first century, Acts 17:11, did not simply take what he said, but went and checked the Old Testament scriptures to make sure that the things he was saying about the Jesus the Christ was true. The Bible said these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind. Hey, you preach. We want to hear what you have to say. But then went and searched the scriptures daily to see if those things that he was saying were so. Now, if they are checking behind an apostle, one of the greatest men ever lived, who got his knowledge directly from the Holy Spirit, if they were checking behind that man, you telling me you gonna just ask your pastor and whatever he say, that's what you believe? Go ahead and roll the dice. Go ahead and roll the dice. Because that's exactly what you're doing. Bible says they lie in wait. They lie in wait to deceive. The word deceived is the Greek word methodia. This is the word that is translated the wiles of the devil in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 11. So you understand then that they are trying to deceive by trickery, like the wiles of the devil, which we understand to be his schemes and his strategies. So Paul is actually warning that in this time, the Judaizers and the Greeks were employing the methods of deceit and trickery to make the gospel of none effect and to corrupt it. How were they doing it? By sleight of hand, by tricks, by deception. If you're not careful, folk will trick you today with all of the healing programs and all this kind of stuff and make you believe that maybe what you have come to understand in the Word of God is not correct. But what is the greatest defense against this happening? You still in Ephesians 4? Back up to verse number 13. Let me show you the greatest defense against this happening, and then the sermon is going to be yours.
Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man.
Unto a perfect man. That's verse 13, right? In other words, unto a perfect man. One needs to be perfect. That's the greatest defense of someone tricking you, deceiving you with sleight of hands, with gamesters and tricksters and all this kind of stuff. The greatest defense against them tricking you and deceiving you is that you be perfect. That you be a perfect individual, which means that you be a full age individual. That you be a full grown man or woman in Christ. That you be complete in moral character, mentally, spiritually. You know, there are certain people folk like to pull off to the side. And then there are certain people they like to avoid. When you think you got one on the line, on the hook, you want that gullible child. You want that teenager that thinks they know everything. Them the ones they want. You know, people will present something to your child, but you notice they didn't come present it to you. Your child then tells you what somebody told you and what they trying to get you into, and immediately the parents will say, what? They want you to do what? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, who is it? You know, then we start asking all kinds of questions, but you thought that it was a good thing, but the parent knew immediately. You don't get enough, nothing like that. You don't follow anything like that. You don't get involved with folks like that. Stay away from those kinds. Why? They were deceiving you and tricking you. Why? Because you were gullible and naive. That's the same way folks do it spiritually. But the defense against it is growing up. Look at verse 15. We're going to skip over to 14 because you already know what that says. But here's the other defense. Read.
But speaking the truth in love
may grow up in what?
Into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ.
To grow, enlarge, increase. This is what happens when one is receiving nourishment from the word of God. It, the word of God, will grow up in you. And that's what he's saying. It'll grow up in you and you will increase. Peter said it this way, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Well, you don't want to stay and linger on the foundation. Last I checked, none of us are leaving here, going to a house, and the only thing you're going to find is a big slab of concrete. No, that thing got some steps to it, a porch to it. It's got some walls up, furniture in the house, all those kind of things, because that wouldn't make any sense, would it? Well, neither does it make any sense in your spiritual condition. Don't just live on the foundation. You got to build the walls. You got to grow up. You got to mature. You've got to become perfect in Christ. And that's going to keep them elements and all those kind of things. Because we did go just sit on that foundation. You've been rained on, snowed on, sleeted on, and everything on if you stay on that kind of a foundation. But thank God we got some stuff over the house, got a roof over the house, got some walls up, got some windows, and we done winterized it and everything else. Heat in there, air in there, all of that to protect us from the elements and to keep us safe. Well, think about it that way spiritually and leave the foundation and build on it. Now, in the afternoon session, I'm going to show you how to become perfect. I'll show you how to do that because we tell you to be perfect and then you say, well, how am I supposed to be perfect? Well, we'll tell you how to be perfect in the afternoon session. Right now, you got enough to know not to stay where you are. And if you're not in Christ, you ought to have enough to know that you got to begin somewhere. So you need to start. Some need to move on. Some need to come in. And if you need to come in, you need to get started on a foundation. That's important as well. So we tell you, you got to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. You got to repent of your sins, confess him with the mouth unto salvation, and you've got to be immersed in water. You got to be baptized for the remission of your sins. He'll add you to his church. We on the right, solid foundation. Now all you got to do is come on in and build on, live faithfully unto death. And when this life is over, heaven is your home. Is there anyone who will come and start that today? If there is, we invite you to do so as we stand and as we sing the invitation song.